So this week we read the end of the rest of Hebrews, Hebrews 12 and 13, and then we were to read the first three chapters of James. So great reading this week. I love James. I love the flow of James. A lot of verses that we know, you know, that you've heard all your life. But anyway, Hebrews chapter 12. And those of you that are new here, that this is your first time here, what we have been doing is reading the New Testament through since January. And so we have gone from Matthew, and now we're in Hebrews. And then the chapters that we read during the week, then we talk about them in life group. So give everybody a kind of an update. That way it's not like over your head. What are you doing? Anyway, Hebrews chapter 12. Couple of just things about it. The first part of the chapter talks about God disciplines his sons. And it talks about that in verses 1 through 13. And then the end of the chapter, it talks about a warning against refusing to obey God. So what did you guys get out of your reading in chapter 12 this week? Something just, Miss Diane. We do. How many else has that problem? The church will. Yes. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of where we all live, kind of the sermon this morning, you know. But, yeah, we want to fix things when we get something laid, bam, hits us, and we want to fix it, and we want to fix it now. I think of Robert. Robert would love to fix his daughter and have her fixed completely. No, not that way. But sometimes we have to, well, a lot, every time we should wait on God because his plan is perfect. And so that's good, Diane. Yeah. Anybody else? This thing right here is our biggest trouble. Because we say the wrong thing. You know, we think we're going to say the right thing, and Satan will, what they hear, Satan takes and uses it a different way. And I found sometimes when I have this urge just to say what I want to say, and you're going to listen to me, the best thing I can do is just come put my arm around you and just say, I love you, God. I love you, girl. You know, whatever. And just walk off, you know. Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes you just don't know when to stop. Anybody else? In Hebrews chapter 12. I like the very first part of the verse. It says, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. We have encouragers around us, physically with us, that encourage us. When we need to we have those weights, or we have the sin or that besets us. All of us have a sin that just gets you. And it, my sin may not, and if you knew what my sin is, and I don't want y'all to turn your collar around and let me confess it, because I'm not going to. But it, you would say, if you heard what my sin was, probably most of you would say, why do you have trouble with that? I don't have trouble with that. In the same way, if you told me your sin, I might say, that's easy. You know, that's easy to fix, you know. Because everybody has their own thing that Satan knows that could nip them at the knee, could make them fall. And so we, as a church, should be a great cloud of witnesses encouraging each other and saying, hey, it's going to be okay. We're not to judge. You know, we're just to say, hey, I'm praying for you. I know I'm struggling with something myself, but I'm going to pray for you. But then I also think about those who have gone on to heaven. I do think that they're up there I picture them in a big football stadium, and we're down on the playing field, and I see them up there going, "Go, you can do it, you can do it. Don't let it hurt you. You can do it." I can just see them up there encouraging us. And then last week we saw where Jesus prays for us. So, you know, when you got that thing that I'm finished, this thing of Christianity is not something I want to do, picture, number one, Jesus is praying for you. He's up in heaven praying for you. He knows what you're going through. But number two, you have those up in heaven that are saying, "Go get them, you can do it. The prize is worth it." And then number three, we have those around us saying, "Come on, we can do it. We just got to stick together. We're going to lock our arms, and we're not going to let Satan take us." And when I read that, it just, okay, I can make it. I can make it. So, anybody else? Chapter 12. I like Paul. Paul must have been a runner. He must have been an athlete. And he was talking to the Christians in Rome. If we remember, our in Jerusalem? Rome. Did we say, where was Hebrews written? Somebody refresh my mind that I told you. I'll look back here and see. No, it was just written to the Christians in Rome. Okay? And if you know any history of Rome, he was writing to the Christians in Rome, Hebrews. If you know Rome anything at all, they were great on the wrestling. They were very athletic. They had the gladiators. They had all that. So Paul was writing to them, bringing things in from their culture to make a point. And he was telling them, run the race. Don't stop. When you're in a race, you keep running until you get to that finish line. And he's saying to the Christians there in Rome, run the race. Keep running. Just keep running. And then you see the verse before. You've got the crowd saying, keep running. And Paul is just saying, stay the faith. Keep the faith. He's the author and finisher of our faith. Just keep going. Don't give up. I must have needed that this week, because that was just everything that you just keep going. It'll be okay. And then the last part of it, or the whole book, or the first part of the book, talks about discipline. God disciplines his son. How many of you have disciplined your children, those of you that have kids? Mm-hmm. She's got one leg up, too. God disciplines us. Now, like Diane, her daughter, Carrie, she did something wrong. That's nothing to me. I'm not going to discipline her. I'm not going to take care of her because she's not my child. So, but it's important to Diane to discipline her child if they do something wrong. So God's saying it's important that God disciplines us, number one, to let us know that we're his kids. Or he wouldn't discipline. So, sometimes it hurts to be disciplined. But we need it. And I always, when I do something wrong, and the Holy Spirit tugs at my heart and says, you blew it this time. You messed up. And I say, oh my goodness. I know I can say I'm sorry, but I may be punished. I may have to take the punishment that I have for that. But that's to grow us. That's to make us grow and to say, I'm not going to do that. No, I'm not going to do that one again because I don't want to go through that punishment again. You know? Sometimes we need that. So anybody else? Yeah. We need those laws. We need those boundaries. Mm-hmm. Dr. Dobson says kids need boundaries. If not, they will act up. Anybody else in chapter 12? Good thoughts. Well, let's go on to chapter 13. Paul will conclude with exhortation. Does anybody know what exhortation means? To exhort, to encourage. We are to encourage each other, but Paul was encouraging the Christians there in Rome, the Jewish Christians in Rome. He was encouraging them. He was giving them their last, this is what you need to do. Continue to do this. You're doing a great job, but continue to do it. And you know somebody that's a great, has that gift of exhortation, of encouragement? Don't you like to be around them? Yeah, I like to be around them because they make you, yeah, I can do it. I can get through this day. Everybody needs one of those. Well, some of the things I took out of 13, you can do it. In verse 2, he says, don't forget to help strangers. That's people you don't even know. Because who knows who you might be helping. Verse 5, he tells us to be content in whatever you have. How many of us are content with what we have? Until we see what somebody else has, we are, you know. But, yeah, be content with what you have. Verse 6, respect those over you. Oh, there is no respect nowadays. And that means respect in home, respect at your work, respect at your church. We need to respect others. And Paul was telling them to respect those over you. Verse 8, it says, he's telling them that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. How much have we seen changed in the last year, the last 10 years, the last 20 years, 50 years, those of you that have lived that long? We have seen a lot of change. I can't even imagine. I was talking to my mom, and she's 88 years old. When she was a kid, where she lived, every morning in the wintertime, there'd be snow on her covers because it would blow through the cracks in her house. She went up, they had a buggy, horse and buggy that she went when she was a little kid. You know, things that she has seen. Oh my goodness. But what we have seen in the last 10 years, the technology that, I mean, you buy a phone, a brand new iPhone. I don't have an iPhone. Brand new phone. And a week later, it's obsolete. They've already got something newer and better. It's like, wow. You know, just the things, the knowledge of men. And so with all that change, don't you think that probably most people probably want to change what God says in this book? We're wanting to change it all the time. Oh, that's not what he meant. He's got to come up and be up in with the times, you know. He's got to get into the 2018 year. That's so weird. We thought we was all dying January 31st, 1999. We thought we was all going to die because 2000 was coming. Now we're 18 years down the road. But just think of this. When God created this world, he has not changed. His plan has not changed. The plan for salvation has not changed. He is the same. The same. He'll be the same today. He'll be the same tomorrow. We are the ones that change. And I don't know about you. Some people say, I don't. Why do we have to do it that way? Well, did you create the earth? did you create this world and did you create human beings? I don't think so. So you have to go by his plan. Now you can divert from it and not do it, but the ending is not good. So, you know, he has not changed. He doesn't change. And then at the very end of the chapter, he says, continue to be an encourager. I love that 13, chapter 13. I think 11 and 13 was the best chapters out of all of Hebrew. So, anybody else pick something up out of Hebrews chapter 13? Well, then, let's go on to James. We're going to read the first three books, chapters in James. Give you a little info about James. This is probably the brother of Jesus that wrote this. Jesus had brothers and sisters. One of them was James. He was not a follower of Jesus until Jesus died. And then he became a follower of Jesus after Jesus was crucified. He was a very important leader in the early church. James was a person of prayer, and I thought this was unique. I wasn't there. I never saw his knees, so I don't know, so don't ask, okay? But they said that his knees were like camel's knees, hard and crusty because of him praying so much. Isn't that cool? That's so cool. The writer was a Jew. Because you can tell that from the very first chapter. Because he's writing to the Jews, or writing to the 12 tribes. And he will write about to a group of Christians who are facing trials and tribulations. And you can tell that from the first chapter as well. Likely he wrote the book while he was in Jerusalem. And James will teach that faith that does not produce works is dead. So we as Christians, we that have faith in Jesus Christ, if we don't use that faith to do works, which is win the lost, teach, tell others, whatever, then our faith is dead. It's not working. So you'll read that. The whole book of James is going to be quite a bit about faith and works. And works does not get a salvation, but works is a product of salvation. So James chapter 1. First part of the chapter, it talks about trials and tribulations, and then the last part of the chapter is talking about listening and doing. So, what did you guys get out of James chapter 1? To be joyful, yeah. We can be unhappy that we're in those trials, but I think he wants us to be joyful. Yeah, that's hard. Miss Brenda. Yes. Yeah. That's right. That's right. That's right. And a lot of our problems probably do not even compare to what Rachel and Jacob face every day. So, I mean, if I would have woke up like Robert did this morning with two flat tires, I would have just shut the door, went back to bed. You know, you just said, what's the use? Car trouble and tires and all that can just cause so much problems, you know. So, but, yeah. Very good, Rachel. Anybody else? There was I don't know if you saw the post on Facebook. There was a missionary family, and I never could figure out where they were from. The guy, the missionary, was going to town with another missionary, and got shot in the head, killed him instantly, and then him and his wife, and they, I think it looked like they had 8 kids, were trying to escape out of the country. I think they finally got them out. Wow, yeah. You don't know, you know, and stuff like that happened too. You're home. They wasn't home. They had to get out and get home. But yeah, a lot of things that have problems with. Verse 5 tells us that if we want knowledge, if we lack knowledge, all we have to do is ask God. And God will give us that wisdom. Verse 8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So what does that mean, a double-minded man? Wishy-washy. That's not him. That's, yeah. I think of a Christian man trying to live in a unchristian world and trying to do both. Trying to continue to live in sin, but a Christian, that's, to me, you just can't do it. Just can't do it. Verse 12 says, the crown of life. How many of you want a crown when you get to heaven to lay at Jesus' feet? Here's one of them that they mention. The crown of life is given to those who endure temptation and love God. So if you want a crown of life to give to Christ, endure your temptation and love God. So there's crowns that we can work for. Not for us. Because one of these days we're going to stand before God and there's going to be people that have Buku's crowns and they're going to place them at Jesus' feet. And then there's some that may not have anything. Oh, to me that would be, you know, it would just all be so bad for me. But verse 13, it says, if you are tempted, God will give you the grace to flee that lust. But it also talks about that if you're tempted, it will go into lust, and then lust, when it's finished, will be sin, and then when sin is finished, it's death. It's a progression. You see it, you want it, you do it, you're in trouble. So God was just telling them, you know, stop, don't do it. When you're tempted, just turn and flee from it. Verse number 19 is one I think all of us have a hard time doing. This, we're to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. So we're supposed to hear. We're supposed to hear and listen. But when something upsets you, stop. Say, if what I'm fixing to say will make it even worse, then stop and try to be slow at what you're going to say. Think about it. And then also be slow to wrath. Don't fly off the handle. Don't be a time bomb. You know, for those that, you know, you have those that you talk to them and they blow up. You know, don't do that. And then verse 22 says, be doers of the word, not just hearers. So, when God tells us to do something in the Bible, just don't hear it. We're to do it. So, chapter 2. Or did anybody else have something in chapter 1? I'm doing all the talking today. I'm sorry. It won't shut. Anyway, James chapter 2. First part of the chapter talks about favoritism is forbidden, and then the last part of the chapter talks about faith and deeds. Why did somebody get out of chapter 2? I thought it was pretty cool. The first part of the chapter just talked about, you know, if somebody comes in, drives up in a Lexus, has a suit on. First thing he comes in, he pays the church loan off. And, you know, sits down and we give him the prime seat in the house. And then a poor person comes in and we just ignore them. God says, don't do that. Favoritism is not expected in the Christian life. We're to treat everybody the same. That is hard. It is. But God said, don't do that. Well, it's not like that sometimes. He tells us not to do that. Not to show favoritism. Good, Rachel. And the last part of verse 18 says, faith must have works. We talked about that a little bit. And I told you James will talk about that throughout his book, throughout the book, is that faith, we must show our works. Our works won't save us, but our works are a result of our salvation. Anybody else in chapter 2? Robert. Sometimes you can pass somebody and it doesn't affect you. I should. Anybody you pass that's walking or whatever. But you don't get that tug that I should do something. And then you see somebody and it's just an overwhelming, I really need to help that person, but what can I do? You know, I think that's the Holy Spirit talking to you, saying, you can do something. Whatever you have, that person needs. And it may be an encouraging word. You just don't know. We're about running out of time, but chapter 3, we talked a little bit about this too. James is talking about that taming the tongue. And then he talks about that in verses 1 through 12. And then the last thing talks about wisdom. What did you guys get out of chapter 3? Just remember that our tongue can heal somebody or it can cut somebody up. Which do you want to be? The one that heals or the one that destroys? And as a few verses before we talked about, think before you say something. Because you don't have to. You don't have to cut somebody. You don't have to be that type. God said, God in verse 10 says, you can be a blessing. So, verse 16 talks about where there's envy and strife, there is confusion and evil works. So whenever there's some place, and you probably see it in your workplace sometimes, the strife and the confusion, and how your workplace then becomes very hard to be in. That can be anywhere. That can be in the church. That can be anywhere. And we need to be careful with that. Anybody else before we end for the day? So this next week we'll read chapters 4 and 5 of James, and then 1 Peter 1, 2, and 3. So we are almost, I'm so proud of you guys that we have almost read the New Testament through. That's exciting. And like I said, I can't wait to go back and read what I have written. Through the chapters and see what God was talking to me at that time. But anyway, we will be dismissed. Craig, would you dismiss us in prayer?